Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Carolla Drinks invites you to a very classy event in 2019, the 10E Booze and Book Club, with me, Mike Dawson. Some have said they'd pay me to read the phone book, so get your tickets now to hear me read chapters from Left of Boom, January 8th, with CIA Special Agent Douglas Laux. Ghost, February 7th, with FBI Undercover Agent Michael R. McGowan. Up on Game, March 7th, with former bank robber Richard Stanley. The Miracle Man, April 2nd, with minister, singer-songwriter, and author Buck Storm. The Pact, May 9th, with former Army Green Beret combat medic Sergeant Robert Patrick Lewis. Mistrial, June 7th, with attorney Mark Garrigus. Each event will feature a live reading with me, followed by a question and answer period with each author, and a reception with a Mangria signature cocktail. Buy the entire series and get 6 shows for the price of 5. For tickets, follow at Carolla Drinks and at Dos Angeles. Tickets also available at 10E in downtown Los Angeles. Or email Dawson at adamcarolla.com. Carolla Drinks presents the 10E Booze and Book Club. Get it on in 2019.
And welcome back to another edition of Carolla Classics. A few more episodes left till the Adam Carolla Show returns this Friday, January 4th. This is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, joined with superfan and Carolla archivist Giovanni.
Hey, everybody, I'm back.
We got a lot of great clips for you today. This first one, we're just going to go ahead and get on into it. Bill Burr on the Adam Carolla Show, along with Allison and Brian. This one's live.
Another live show. Adam Carolla 628 with Bill Burr from 2011. This is just Adam and Bill riffing about something Adam saw at the airport, and they have a lot of funny comments about it.
Check it out, Bill Burr on the Adam Carolla Show.
Have you guys had this thought? This seems fairly random, but I was sitting in a bar in Vegas at about 8:30 this morning, actually. Who cares, right? I'm not flying the plane. And first thing I did at McCarran is I passed the lingerie shop in the airport, which is something. It's definitely a Vegas thing. They don't have that in Seattle, but. And I went to a bar, and they had surfboards. It was like a Cabo Wabo, Sammy Hagar, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they had surfboards like all over the ceiling, and they were like making tables out of surfboards. And I see a lot of surfboards being used like as furniture and just as decorations. And when I was at K-Rock, if you won, if you sold a million records, the program director would get a surfboard that said whatever on it, would say The Offspring on there, and have a surfboard. And I feel like when I was a kid, a surfboard was a big thing. Like, if you knew someone who had a surfboard, it was like, that guy has this. Eddie Gravitch has a surfboard. We should kiss that guy's ass. And now I feel like they're throwaway. Have they gotten cheaper? Are we making them in China?
You guys have any?
A redhead.
You don't know anything. I got a Jew and a redhead, and they're trying to tell me about surfboard. But what I'm saying is
excuse
you guys feel, me. You guys have this same feeling? Like, it's like gold records. There used to be, you'd see one and it was hanging behind Quincy Jones, and now every fucking Sizzler has a couple in the background somewhere or something.
Yeah.
Like, is shit just getting
to make? Maybe they made too many surfboards and now they have to just give them out like business cards.
Are we just making cheap ones that don't actually work?
Well, plus, ever since YouTube, now you can see bulldogs and chipmunks and everything surfing. You know, it kind of takes the magic out of it.
I do like when they do the, coming up next on the news, a chipmunk who water skis. And you go, well, I got to see this. And then they just have a chipmunk on a piece of plywood that's duct taped to the plywood and it's being dragged behind a boat. That's a chipmunk not drowning. It's not water skiing.
No, I think even if I could tan, there's no way I would ever go in the ocean. Anybody
goes
in the ocean? Yeah, you're an idiot.
You don't like that? Oh, you're one of those.
You're an idiot.
You know what's weird about
everything in there can kill you. You're out of your fucking mind, and they always try to make you feel more comfortable.
Well, I got to say this about the ocean. It really divides a nation. Where's my Hillary Duff picture? Do you not have one? It's coming when? Next week? feel like there should be a ton of these. Did we stop work on Hillary Duff? Oh, Jesus Christ. So we got to go in order. If you can get her water skiing.
I wonder if he's searching Hillary Duff plus big teeth.
No. You can't. You're
They're
going
like twice
14
that size.
Year old Hillary Duff.
Hillary Duff veneers.
22 year old Hillary Duff.
I don't even know who that is. Like, I'm at that age. Like,
oh, don't
it?
Pretend like you haven't beat off the Hillary
you
Duff.
You don't know who Hillary Duff is, and you don't go in the ocean.
What do you do? I watch sports.
Oh, God.
Let me say this.
The banks are all going to fail. People.
Let me say this about the ocean.
Is that not funny down here? These guys are all bankers. How did he know?
The ocean divides people into, I don't feel alive unless I'm in the ocean. I love to see. All right. Thank you.
Wow.
There. All right. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wow. Right?
Yes. Right.
So everyone looks like Clint Howard now.
Her other
she thinks she's closing her mouth.
Yes. What's
her other
that?
Teeth were sexier.
Yeah. No, they were. They were. A little flaws. Nice. It's what, seriously, like, if you dropped your keys in a dark parking lot and you didn't have a flashlight, you'd be like, Hillary, come here. Open your mouth. I got to find. I use it like I'm using my cell phone. All right, let me say this about the ocean.
It divides people.
You got the people that can't live without it. Like, they're out surfing at 5 a.m. It's a way of life. They can't get enough. They're out with the right. paddle boards
they're
and the
one.
Stand-up boards
like
and the
Keanu
kayak.
Like
the ones. And then you have the other ones that are like, it's a filthy sewer filled with jellyfish that have herpes. And if they don't get you, then the fucking stinging seaweed's going to... You don't go near that thing. It's a one big putrid mess. It's covered
I
with
always
syringes.
Look at it this way. If you went over to somebody's house to go swimming and they had one lobster or crab in the pool, you'd be like, dude, get that thing the fuck out of there. That's going to pinch my kid's foot.
Right, right.
You go to the beach, you don't give a fuck. There's right. sharks, and you don't give a shit. Hey, just waiting. The ocean itself can attack you. The yeah. undertow, and then you're supposed to remain calm underwater. Oh, yeah, which way is it dragging me? Let me just go to the side like you're yeah. not under there going,
yeah.
getting banged yeah. against the coral reef. I have no sympathy for people who get eaten by sharks unless your boat sank. Other than
right.
that, go fuck yourself.
It's true.
There was no reason to go out there. They have wave pools in parks. There's no reason to do it.
Bill, a pretty
one
good...
less person on the 405. That's how I see it.
Yeah, you can't even open your eyes in the ocean. Like, it's pretty clear
yeah,
that we're not meant to be in the ocean.
Pretty good percentage of my audience are survivors of folks who were eaten by sharks, Bill. So I should warn you now.
Dude, when you go to the Serengeti, do you get out of the Jeep and start climbing the fucking trees? You're an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's fun. And it's worth the risk. But if you get eaten, you're an asshole. You're an asshole.
I like to see the people who decide to go into the ocean. It's really one of the few endeavors where you start walking into it and then you go, whoa, 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 and then you run the
yeah.
other way. Like, you would never do that at a buffet or anywhere else where you went like, hey, I'm going to get some shrimp. No. It is weird. You're surprised by something called water that is moving toward you. I like watching Mexicans at the ocean because they always act like they thought they were going somewhere else. You see them in the jeans. And the wife beaters and the tennis shoes. Like, somebody's got to break down and get these guys some fucking OPs or some Quicksilvers or something. They're always like, is there, you can see them out in the sand. Like, you guys did know when you got into the car you were going to the ocean, did you not? Where did you think you were heading? To an IMAX theater? Why always caught off guard with the pants rolled up and right. the shit? Like, someone's got to get... I'm going to start some organization called Swim Trunks for Mexicans and just get these people into some proper swim gear. I feel like it's
drive.
Either that and then their cousins are the guys who are wearing the Speedos. I feel like the foreign folks is either too much or too little. We
yeah.
don't hit the right... Like, you
the
Orange County guys, you got just about right with the board shorts. I feel it's either the banana hammock... Over there in, like, Rio, or you go to Mexico, and they're wearing full-blown tough skins.
It should be called jams for foreigners.
Yes,
well, European
yes.
body, that's, like, the worst. The guys, they have, like, that seventh-grade boy body
mm-hmm.
with, like, a little bit of a beer belly
right.
hanging over the fucking Speedo.
It's right.
like they never ate a steak or did curls in their life.
Yeah, it is. Like,
riding
zero...
around on Vespas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just that it's that wavy sort of teenage.
Never did a push up in your life.
Right.
Definitely sleep on their back and they just sort of roll out of bed, have a cigarette. Ah, cover it up. They need those Three yeah. Stooges bathing suits, that like the Sergeant Slaughter one that
right.
comes up and over.
The men's monokini?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, with the stripes, but those guys get laid though with that, which actually it's sort of, I think they must look at us as idiots for doing push-ups and not smoking when they're getting more pussy than we are.
I don't know. Do they?
I think. Yeah, there
wow.
you go.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good look.
That golden tan.
That guy yeah. looks like a villain in a Bond movie.
Golden sack.
Dude, look at that guy. How much ass did that guy get back in the 40s?
But can I say this, though?
Let me tell you something, G. You're
going to blow me. I have said this many, many times, and it's one of those things that is not fair. You're talking about doing a push-up or working out or, you know, doing that kind of thing. And, you know, you get your genetic hand dealt to you, basically, and you try not to fuck it up with, you know, drugs and Krispy Kremes and stuff like that. But I have used my buddy Donnie back there as an example of this 1 million times, and I can tell you this. And I'm not bragging, because this will end up being a joke on myself. I was extremely athletic my whole life, and I played 11 years of football, and I did everything from, you know, that sort of like Walter Payton running up the mountain in the cleats in the off season to dragging the truck tire with the yeah. rope tied around my waist, squats and bench press and everything. And then after that, I got into boxing, and it was, you know, 2 hours of bag work and speed bags and sparring and skipping rope and all that shit. I'm 47. Donnie's 47. Donnie's, his real main exercise has been from working the carb on his bong his entire life. Like, that's a really, that's been his calorie burner.
Yeah.
Also,
he doesn't even have carb finger.
He doesn't have carb finger. Carpal tunnel syndrome on his left hand. Also, dietetically, like, Donnie's never eaten a vegetable, or at least the first 30 years of his life, he never ate a vegetable. It was like burgers and fries while I was fucking making the Rocky, you know, egg shakes
right.
with the brewer's yeast. Okay, we're both the same age now. If I take my shirt off and he takes his shirt off, we look exactly the same. There's no, you couldn't tell who did 2,000 more push-ups and who hit the heavy bag for an extra 500,000 rounds. You can't tell the difference. That's not fair.
Unless
but that's
you look at your joints, because you're probably all worn out. His are probably brand
new. No, they
new,
are. That's what.
Right out of the box.
Well, speaking of joints, his yeah. No, that's what it is. My knuckles fucked up. My hand had surgery. No, I'm punished for what I've done. He's brand new. He's brand new, and it looks exactly the same.
So let's just work. You worked your ass off for years to achieve Donnie level.
Yeah, not even. He probably looks better than I do with his shirt off. I worked my ass off for years to have a now twice torn meniscus,
right.
A bunch of weirdness growing in my, I don't know what's going on in my knuckles, surgery on my palm, which has left a dead zone, a weird, my hand feels like it's asleep now. Yeah, it's a fucking way, and zero pussy. He was doing no push-ups.
You're too busy.
Eating a fucking cheeseburger and fucking somebody while I was dragging a truck tire in high school, and I got nothing. Nothing but another knee surgery coming up. It's not worth it, kids. Just play those Angry Birds and call it a life.
All right, we're back. Chris and Gio here with another clip, this one featuring Joe Rogan on the Adam Carolla podcast, as it was called back in 2009. Adam, Joe, and Donnie talk about weed laws.
Yep, this is on episode 46 of the podcast. Joe Rogan comes on, and they talk about Adam's famous idea of growing a pot plant in his yard and who could stop him. And the producer at the time had some thoughts about marijuana. And it's funny to now view this versus how California is today versus how it was back in 2009. It seems like it was just, you know, some short time ago, but it's a decade ago.
How the times have changed. P-
pot is such a crazy science now. I mean, I've always, you know, my feeling is like in NASCAR when they put restrictor plates on so the cars don't go too fast because it's getting too dangerous. I feel like I need a restrictor plate for weed. Like the science of weed and hydroponics and everything else is out. Has outgrown my bong. Like, I'm now a little bit scared of weed.
They get freaky sometimes.
Like, back in the day, it'd be like, hand me that joint. You didn't care who handed it to you. It was just like, suck off it, hand it to the next guy, comes back again.
Going.
It's like, you just keep going. It's like you're all in a foxhole sharing the same cigarette, and you copped a buzz, but you're not getting weird.
Yeah.
Now shit has purple pubic hair hanging off
crazy.
It. It smells of goat and stuff. And
I had some old school weed this last weekend. I was in Montreal, and I had some Montreal weed. And it was, you know, it was okay. Me and this this UFC dude, I can't say his name because he doesn't want people to know he smokes weed. Right. And a buddy of mine, my friend Ari, we rolled up this guy's weed and smoked it. And it was just boring weed. It was like, compared to the rocket fuel that they have at the local pharmacies.
Well, let's put it this way. My entire, like from age 13 to age 18, you know, like I remember smoking weed in the 8th or 9th grade and having the guy say, are you high? And I'm going, I think I feel something.
Yeah.
Are you high? I think I'm high. Dude, you're high. No, I don't. I think I'm just hyper. I think I sucked too hard on it. I got a head rush. No, dude, I think you're high. My kid is not going to be asked that question.
No.
Because when he smokes the purple, icky, sticky, chronic, nobody's going to ask him if he's high. He will be high.
Yeah.
Everyone is now high, right?
The Southern California marijuana, I mean, I haven't tried. Everybody's like, go to Amsterdam. I don't know how it could possibly be any stronger than what they have in California. California is way crazier than any other part of the world. There's 400 medical marijuana dispensaries just in Southern California alone. And there's even more in Northern California. I mean, it's fucking insane how many there are.
Well, think about how many tax dollars...
Yeah.
Wasting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, completely wasting. And, you know, Obama shrugs it off, laughs it off like it's a joke because, you know, that's what he's been instructed to do, I guess. You know, when he was running for president, he was talking about how, you know, the war against drugs is completely ridiculous and marijuana should be decriminalized. And, you know, here he is laughing at it. It's a source of tax revenue. The problem is these guys are all whores, and they've made all their money from pharmaceutical companies and from alcohol companies. And that's just the fact they allow a partnership for a drug-free America to even exist. You know, they get their money from alcohol and tobacco companies.
Well, not only that, but I was saying to somebody a couple days ago, one day when I get enough FU money, I'm just going to grow a pot plant in my yard. And the idea that, Don, I hope your mom's not listening, but, you know, Donnie's he's a homeowner, he's a father, he's a hard worker, he's a responsible guy, and Donnie's got to go down to the corner and hook up with his buddy and do whatever, and it cost him $60 for an eighth or whatever it is these days and all that shit. Just the fact that he has to leave the house, you know, it's like,
right.
I said to my wife the other day, hey, plant some Roma tomatoes, because we go through Roma tomatoes like Mama Celeste over here. And why go to the market? We got a nice yard here. The sun's shining in Southern California. Last year, we planted one. Just went nuts. Like, barely touched it. Didn't, you know, fertilize it or do anything. Just went ballistic. And every night when we're making a salad, you just walk out there and you pop one off and you make it. Or you take one of those dwarf lemon trees. You just plant it in a pot in your backyard or whatever. And whenever you're making a cocktail or you're making some fish, you just walk out and pop one off. Well, why can't you have a weed plant in your backyard?
See, that's the issue, because
to distribute? What am I green?
It's so easy to grow. It grows by itself. You can throw seeds and the stuff just starts growing.
But that's the point.
You can't control it. Now you can't tax it. You can't make money.
Well, it's because we're being controlled.
Right.
We're controlled by other people. We're controlled by people who sell us things. There's a gigantic industry that revolves around people buying things.
Pharmaceuticals
and alcohol. As soon as you give people control, to sell and buy and grow their own drugs, you know, you got problems, man. You got a big chunk of the economy has been removed.
Hey, let's have a healthy new year, people. Inside every MedMen is a way to meet your goals for 2019's resolutions. Let's say you want to get fit. All right, how about trying an energizing edible before you hit the road, before you take that run? Then when you get back, how about a soothing CBD pain stick? Relax those quads, man. Get a little of that CBD going. Or resolve the relax a little more and ease your anxiety with premium products from MedMen. You can visit a store near you. They have a knowledgeable in-store team. They know what's going on, including in-house pharmacists at medicinal stores. They'll make sure you find the products you need and easy-to-understand instructions when it comes to using it. So go to MedMen.com. Find a store near you at MedMen.com. How about it, Dawson?
MedMen's resolution for 2019, helping to drop the labels for cannabis users. Use code Adam Carolla at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. Visit a MedMen today. Limit one per customer. Terms and conditions apply. Keep out of reach of children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older.
All right, moving along. This next clip from 2015 features Ari Shaffir joining Gina and Brian and Adam in studio.
Adam Carolla Show, episode 1536 from 2015. This is Ari's second appearance on the show. He was on in 2013 and came back in 2015. This is before he did his exile overseas, where he got rid of social media for a few months. This is when he was kind of testing the waters, and he tells Adam about his upcoming trip to Thailand and some plans. If you want to hear the full episode, Podcast One Premium, Ari Shaffir, March 23rd, 2015. Enjoy.
Tell me about that.
I don't know. It's just festival season. I'm going to Australia. Then I'm going to Thailand afterwards.
Wow. Is that all rub and tug? Or is there actual
just all
comedy?
Rub and tug, man. I want to get jerked off on an elephant.
Get a soapy.
Yeah. What's a soapy?
Oh, it's when they get naked and soap you up and you lay flat and they run at you and slide across you.
Like my junk?
Just across your naked body.
They use me as a slip and slide?
Exactly.
All right. I'll get that.
Okay.
Thailand is just where you stop on the way back.
Yeah, I figure I'll just go there. I don't know.
How long are you going to hang there for?
9 days, go to Phuket and Bangkok and another country, I mean another city.
Mm. Does everything sound like screwing over there?
It does.
Fuck it,
it really
Bangkok.
Does. Yeah. I want to get like 5 ladyboys and go watch kickboxing fight and just roll large.
Yeah. Live a dream.
Yeah. Do that in Libya. That's the capital of fucking
Libya.
Yeah,
that's the spot to
Majora.
Libya Majora. Yeah, well, that's the center of the
town.
That's
the hot spot.
That's the hot spot. Yeah, yeah. And then we swing by a little. There's a little neighborhood called Volva over there where there's tons of action. Yeah. So you go now. How long's the tour in Australia?
2.5 weeks. Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane.
Do you go with other comedians? You know,
no. There's big people there because it's a big festival, but I don't know who's going.
And how does that work? Do they pay to bring you out there, and then we see how you draw? They figure out what size theater or
they
comedy club or whatever
of how much I draw. I don't really know. I don't really worry about that stuff.
But
I just like throw that money in the account and just know when I'm going.
How much? I'm trying to decipher this, and you tell me.
Yeah.
Because last time you and I were together, we were hanging out with Doug Benson, right?
Yeah. Doing your half a hit of weed.
I did a whole fucking hit of weed. I had to go to fucking work that night.
Yeah.
All right.
What are you trying to figure out? I'll tell you exact numbers. What do you need to know?
No, not numbers. Okay. I have a theory.
Yeah.
I have a theory that some guys are comedians because they love comedy, and other guys are comedians because they want to travel, they want to fuck 22-year-olds, and they hate work.
Right. Wow. I'm
not going to say where Doug Benson lands on that one. But
he loves 22-year-olds.
One of his neck. He started with the Benson interruption. Mm-hmm. That's where he sat on a Barca lounger and chimed in the middle of your act. Then he went to getting Doug with high.
Right.
Eventually, he's going to do a show called "You Do Your Routine"
Dance.
While Doug bangs a hostess from Applebee's while ripping a bong load. And it's like, where do you do this? Is Doug's? But you gotta come to his living room.
Just some like, black box somewhere.
Is this because he loves comedy or because he hates leaving the house?
The either way, he's a genius.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of those. You like doing comedy, but then you're like, oh, hey, while I'm doing this, let's let it take me to China.
Well, there's a part of work. There's a part of comedy that's work.
Yeah.
You gotta write shit down.
I guess so.
You got to memorize shit.
Yeah.
Why not just have comedians do their act while you sit in a folding chair
and yell at
them?
Figure it out.
Yeah. All right. It's a genius. So
as long as I've known Doug, he's loved 22-year-olds. I like him too, though. It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to look at when I started comedy. I was like, look at Doug Benson still with girls in their young 20s. Yeah. So creepy. And now it's like, oh, yeah, I'm the exact same age he was.
When he was being creepy.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, man, I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it.
Killing it.
There's so much fun.
Yeah. Well, considering, I mean, I don't know what you're looking for, but, you know.
Someone did not do this. That's my main thing I'm looking for in a woman. Just no. Ari.
Instead, you got, you're funny.
Yeah. Any of that. Yeah. Wow. Your own car? How'd you get that? Oh, so when's your roommate coming home? He's not. I don't have a roommate.
You got your own car? Your stepdad must be so cool.
I bought it myself.
What?
Go ahead and get a large popcorn if you want.
So the tour, and yeah, I've always said, look, the thing that's cool about show business is the thing that makes a lot of jobs suck is the repetition. Mm. And the notion, as I was explaining earlier about Philip the Juggler, you get to go on a cruise, you work 2 days, mm-hmm. you get to have fun the next 6 days. And by the way, the day you're working, it's not like you're not fucking out on the Lido deck that day. It's just that yeah. night you got to do a show
yeah,
or two.
For an hour.
For an hour. Have you done cruises?
No, never. Not yet.
It's sweet.
I want to, though.
You know what you should do?
I think Doug does cruises.
Doug does cruises. Big J does like rock cruises and 311 cruises.
Yeah.
You know, all with garbage people. But, you know, you have fun with them.
You should do a cruise to Thailand.
Yeah.
Ari Shaffir's cruise to Thailand.
3 month cruise to Thailand.
Called the Lady Buoy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Weird. I feel there's a very fluid with their sexuality over there.
Yes.
Flexible.
Brian, you spoke a little too quickly, by the way.
I've been told.
That what? You look like a lady boy?
I've been led to believe. No, that they're a little flexible, compromising with with their love.
Mm-hmm. My buddy hooked up with one. He got a BJ in a cab, and then he found a lady. He's like, I'm 50% sure that was a girl. Mm-hmm. 50% boy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, dude, it's 90-10 boy. Otherwise, what do you mean? He goes, well, she was hanging out with a lot of other lady boys, and it seemed weird that she would just go with me.
Yeah. It's
that's a dude.
A weird way to make a living.
No, she didn't even ask for money. She just did it for the love of the game.
She paid him, bro.
Yeah.
Whoa.
She's one of that D, yo.
The love of the game.
They're very attractive most of the time.
What? Are they really? I want to see how hot they are.
You haven't seen like a documentary or anything? Very, very, very attractive.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Questions. Freebie.
Freebie.
In the cab.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, exactly. They just drove around the block a bunch.
Do you think...
have you ever done that with
a
real
cab, by the way? So super offensive to the kids in the neighborhood. But...
those rickshaws.
Tuk-tuk.
Hey, quit bouncing.
The couple things. Maybe that was just like a tune-up blowjob. You know what I mean? Maybe he was trying to sharpen his skills a little for the paying
customers.
Before
he got her dating his day started.
But how did this work with the free blowjob?
He's an attractive dude.
Okay.
Jeff Keith. And he just went out and I guess they went out to the cab together.
So we're dropping full names now.
He doesn't care. He said it on my podcast before.
All right. Okay. So he's a good looking guy.
Yeah. He likes hooking up. He was drinking, obviously.
Uh-huh.
That'll help.
Sure. And
how long would you have to go without getting laid at all, including blowjobs, before you go to a lady boy and be like, yeah, all right, let's do this?
Well, now, we should remove, you know, internet pornography and beating off, right?
Okay.
Because you just got to be like a kettle ready to
wet
blow.
Wet dreams only.
At this.
Out of your control.
Yeah. God's hand job. The wet dream. I would say, geez, I don't know. I mean, if you would have got hold of me when I was, you know, 23.
Yeah.
You'd be looking for a ladyboy before the sentence was
And done. Keep in mind, they are hot.
Yeah, they're hot.
That's a good looking lady boy.
He's not the lady boy. Okay, he's the boy.
And also, there's a when in Rome factor to it. I guess
it's like prison gay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the over under would be 8.5 days.
Oh
wow! Oh. I was going to say 6 months.
Yeah.
Wait, you mean today, or are we still talking back when you're in your 20s?
23. No beating off. 8.5 days was
drive you nuts.
Eternity.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be like, all right, let's just do this thing.
But in the cab, huh?
Yeah. Which I've never. Have you ever done that with a woman?
No, in a cab?
Yeah.
No, first off,
I don't understand.
I feel like there's not enough room back there.
And the guy can see you. He can. You know, he's going to watch you.
Not only that, but like if you're in New York, they have the little video thing. Hi, yeah, this Bob is Eartha Kitt or Bob Costas. You know, like, hey, I don't need you talking down to me. You're distracting me. Kimmel's in one.
Yeah,
that's
it's
weird.
Kimmel. It's
over
Kimmel.
My shoulder. I'm blowing there. Some dude. I mean, getting blown by some hot chick. You know what I mean?
I know what you meant.
Whatever
yeah.
happens.
I had the cab driver. Tell me if don't you feel like almost every cab you get into, you should just be able to say to the guy, look, in lieu of a tip, or I'll give you a tip, but let me just, I'm never going to see you again, but let me just give you first blush impression of what it smelled like. You know, I had the cab driver. I just got back from Vegas. The guy was 5'6", 5'7". Fine. So the seat wasn't pushed that far back, but had to full gangster lean on the seat, like almost fully reclined.
Oh,
so it was, in Mike August's lap. And it's like, hey, 5'7" guy who drives a cab for a living, don't have your shit in full lazy boy recline mode. You drive a cab. There's people behind you.
Or save that for when there's no fare, when there's no one in the cab.
You understand?
Why is Uber happening? Like, yeah, what do you think, dude?
Maybe if all you picked up was dental hygienist, maybe it'd be fine because there'd be some reference or familiarity with this guy leaned all the way. But this guy we had was 5'7". And the seat was up plenty because he needed to reach the pedals, but he had full reclined seat. Like,
yeah,
which
there should
I,
be a
you
keypad on that video screen.
Yeah.
So you can type in what was wrong.
And it's not even safe to operate a motor vehicle with the thing in full recline mode. All right, so
you should be able to tell them that you'll never see me again.
Are you thinking about being with the lady boy? And is there some kind of test? You know what I mean? Where you get a little swab of the DNA, and the, you know what I mean?
Changes to purple. If I rub their,
yeah,
rub their cheek.
a little something where they walk away and you grab their Sprite real quick and wipe down that edge and see what color the paper turns. You know?
Because how disappointing would it be if you went and finally hooked up with one and it was just a plain looking woman?
Yeah,
you really
your mom's
aw.
Friends.
Yeah,
yeah. Devastating.
Mrs.
No,
Goldman,
are you willing to go for the dude?
I don't think so, but maybe.
But now you're not going to know.
Right. I just probably have to go blindfold and just point.
Well, you're going to get really high.
Probably.
And you might get drunk.
Mushrooms go around there.
Mushrooms. Hey, the word tie stick is right.
You tie know, stick.
Tie's
that's
right,
where
right in there. Right. So you're going to be altered.
Yeah.
And you're going to be in a setting where
it's acceptable.
Where it's acceptable. Mm-hmm. And
encouraged.
You're going to kind of move to the rhythm at a certain point.
There's like a 20% chance I'll go for a ladyboy while I'm there.
But I say a higher percent chance that you're not going to know.
Oh, right.
And that you're going to be okay with it.
There's supposedly a new, like, resilient form of chlamydia that's just in Thailand.
Ooh,
that's currently
that
frightening me. It just won't, the drugs don't work on it.
Yeah, who says we're not innovators?
Super chlamydia. Coming out of Thailand.
Take that.
Take that, Germany.
We invented an electric
car. We invented a lot of shit, too. Super chlamydia.
We didn't have to operate on Jews to figure out this one.
All right. Shall we do a little news with Ari Shaffir? First.
All right. We're back with some more Corolla classics. This next clip featuring Jimmy Pardo, Never Not Funny.
From 2009, episode 38, Jimmy Pardo's in studio. Adam and Jimmy riff about a variety of topics, getting caught, and some other things. I love Jimmy Pardo.
I got popped once by a buddy of mine who lived down the street. He literally kicked the door open. I was living in the garage of my house. He literally kicked the garage open and did a sort of "Here's Johnny"
right.
kind of move.
He's like, attempting to be funny.
He's just one of these guys, you know, every jack off, pardon the pun, guy you grew up with. If you were in your room or whatever, there was no such thing as a quiet entrance. You know,
right,
you're
right.
not going to get the backhanded one knuckle knock.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Jimmy, man.
Pardon,
you know,
right?
You know, you just door flies open.
Yeah,
he screams, "I am." In such a lad, I mean, I'm going at it. I'm at the point where I cannot shut it off.
There's no turning back. We're right there.
No. It's like I talk about, there's a name for it, but when a pilot is in a commercial airliner and he gets up to 137 knots, he's taken off.
Okay.
What's that? There's no shutting down the engines. You're going into Lake Superior at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care if the engine's on fire. We're lifting.
Right.
That's what it was with me. He kicked open the door. I was in shock, but as I was in shock, something was coming out of me. It was like I jacked off to him.
Right. Hey.
I was like, I don't think he wanted that either, but he still was.
But he's got a story for the rest of his life.
I guess he does. Evidently.
Right.
Let's hope he doesn't get the Facebook.
Right. You don't want him blogging about it?
No.
But you're talking about it, so at this
point,
who cares?
Well, you're probably right.
The worst time that I ever got caught, and again, you started this topic, I was living in North Hollywood, Valley Village.
Mm.
And I lived in an apartment complex that may have been a hotel at some point, where like all the there were no hallways, everything faced out into the common courtyard,
right,
where there was a pool. And it was a Sunday afternoon, and I went over to Odyssey Video on Lankershim.
Sure.
I went over there where they have that creepy back room full of porn.
Well, not only that, but the walk of shame from the back porn bunker of the audio of the Odyssey Video to the front registers is 3 football fields of shame.
Right.
Literally through the parents out getting their disabled kids.
Getting them Nemo.
The little Einsteins and the Nemos. I feel like I'm walking on one of those airport transport conveyor, but I'm walking the opposite way. It's like a commercial with the tunnel vision and stuff like that. When am I going to get to the counter with my big big jug or
with
ass masters?
Or hell,
right. Yeah, but that place has a massive. There's a small porn store inside of a regular video store.
It's a great porn department.
But by the way, could they put a goddamn register in the back of the place and slink out of the back door with
my
some
bag
dignity?
And right.
Right. All right.
No, I
got to
get in the same line as everybody else getting, you know, Kevin Costner's film. I come from Odyssey. It's a beautiful day. Breeze coming through my apartment. I'm up on the second floor. I'm the end apartment. Nobody can walk past my apartment.
Right.
So I've got window. No worries.
Right.
And I rented something. I will never remember the name of it. It was amateur. I'm always a big fan of amateur.
Sure.
But they also thought they were making a movie.
Yeah.
So it's all these crazy shots. Like people are fucking on a ladder.
Right.
And I'm a big fan of oral. In video.
Yeah.
So that's none of that's happening. And so I'm there with my pants around my ankles watching this thing. And I yelled out, "For the love of God, it's not art. Suck a fucking dick." And just furious at this video. Maybe 15 minutes later, the phone rings and it's the landlord going, "You may want to keep it down up there."
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The first off, couple things.
What do you got?
You and me are the same way where like when you're watching a porn and it's like, all right, the guy's gonna munch some box, so I'm gonna fast forward through this chore.
No interest.
And somewhere around minute 21 and the guy's still munching box, you're like, who the fuck directed this porn?
Right?
I mean look, I understand sprinkle in some guy eating some pussy, but Jesus Christ, you've shot a documentary on a guy eating pussy.
Right.
We get it. Start with the fucking already.
Right, let's go.
Let's go. I completely agree. And I've realized that some directors are like box munching directors, mm-hmm. and then others are, you know, blowjob and whatever. But
there's not a lot of blowjob. And I don't know why we got on this topic.
I'm with you on this.
But there's not enough. I used to always joke with my buddy Paul, I got to have balls on chin. That's what I got to have in my porn.
It's funny because, you know, Jimmy's approach to porn is a lot, you know, it's like a lot of people's approach to theater. It's about putting asses in seats. And for Jimmy, it's about putting balls on chins.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I appreciate you talking about me in third person,
I am with you.
Yeah?
In that the only reason I even excuse the box munching in the porn is that I accept...
Right.
That there's a fringe element that derives some pleasure from watching this.
And you...
And I'm all right with it. I mean, it's like, let's power through that. And let's get to the BJ. Now, wait a minute. Donnie, I'll bet you Donnie's the kind of guy who's going to piss me off and tell me he's into that. I don't see. Here's the thing. As far as the porn goes, it's meant for men.
Yes.
The box munch is sort of something that's meant for the ladies.
That's for the ladies.
That's the way I look at it. Donnie? But,
you have to...
just yell it through the window.
You have to...
Really, you don't like this stakeout version he's doing?
You're selfish just because you're strictly into oral. And big tits. Oral. Like, I like a little bit of everything.
All right. But you don't need the 25 minutes at the beginning.
No,
of
I
each
don't need...
Sec-
No. I think like 5 minutes of that.
Five minutes?
Even five is too much. That's an eternity.
It's eternity.
That's an eternity.
That's a lifetime in the box munching.
Put it in
department.
There so that we can all pretend we care about the lady.
Right. That's
right?
All.
Right? Let's
That's
get
all.
That out of the way,
That's
and then
it.
Let's get to daddy.
I completely agree. Donnie, you don't know how long 5 minutes of that is when you're actually just watching it. It's a long time.
Well, in fairness, I don't either because I fast forward through it. So
visual taste of it. That's all.
Right.
Pun intended.
All right. I agree with you. It makes me mad when they do that. There's many things in the porn direction things I would correct. But I didn't know, by the way, they even had the amateur stuff back in the day,
days. Oh, yeah. Oh, it was like always like screw my wife, please, mm-hmm. or something like that, where you come in and maybe they're faking it. I don't know where they would go. Hey, we met them on the internet and we're going to talk to them. Yeah, I'd like you to have sex with my wife.
Right.
And horrible acting.
You know, porn is great. Just because there's a $2 billion segment of it called amateurs.
Yes.
There's no such thing as a restaurant.
Right, hey, can I give it a try?
Place got the amateur chef over here. Let's use them. Let's go over there.
Right.
There's no sports club or sports team. There's nothing. There's nothing with the word amateur in it that you're attracted to.
No.
I mean,
you're not going to go watch amateur baseball players have a game.
Here's how good porn is.
Yeah.
Even the amateur stuff is good.
It's worthwhile.
That's so true. Like, if there was a sitcom just called Amateur Sitcom, these aren't real actors.
No.
It's not really written by funny people. Like, you'd be like, screw that. I'm watching Seinfeld.
Right.
But amateur porn, even amateur porn is good.
Well, there was Muscle on the WB. That was somewhat amateur and not written by funny people.
Yeah.
Remember that back in, 96 or whatever the hell that show came out of?
So, lived back in Valley Village.
Lived in Valley Village.
That's where I grew up.
And
went to the Odyssey.
Yeah.
Well, now here's the thing about the Odyssey. Every once in a while, I'll pass by the Odyssey, and they still have times are tight.
Yeah.
Times are tough in the porn department, and they will write on the window, buy one porn, get 26 free.
Right.
You know, just shit like that, and I'm like, buy one DVD for $3.99, get 185 for free.
Right.
And there's a part of me that wants to stop and go back in, but I realize I will now be recognized by the guy behind the counter at the Odyssey Video, where I used to walk in with impunity, and even then couldn't stand that walk of shame to the counter.
I once, a buddy of mine, Pete, walked in on me. To me, if it's a buddy, we all do it. Like, everybody rents porn and beats off. But yet there was the part of me that when he walked in, I'm standing in line, I went through that little panic, and I grabbed a Snicker bar and put that up on the counter, and he goes, what are you doing there? I go, I'm getting a candy bar.
Yeah.
And I always buy my candy at the video store.
Yeah. It's just the Snicker bars at the video store are so far superior to the ones you get at the 7-Eleven.
They're delicious.
Can't even compare. Have you ever counted the nuts in a Snickers and one you'd get at a gas station as opposed to a Blockbuster?
It's not up to snuff, is it?
That's a totally different candy.
No. It's night and day, the porn candy.
I know.
The video candy.
My greatest porn return, I grew up out here. At least you moved from Chicago, so you could leave everyone you went to high school with behind.
Mm-hmm.
I was returning video bloopers, porn bloopers. I for me, it was an impulse rent. You know what I mean? It was
how do you not, right? We love bloopers and we love porn.
That's the whole thing.
Put it together.
Look, I love beating off. I love a joke. I mean, like, what are my two great loves? You know what I mean?
It's actually bloopers, outtakes.
It was horrible, but the point is I had to return it.
Okay.
And then I realized as I was returning it, I didn't have any dollars and no bills in the billfold. I didn't have much money back then, but I was exceptionally light. And this is pre-ATM.
Okay.
So I opened my truck ashtray and there's, Is that one thing where I have to cobble together $1.25
coins?
But there's some pennies in there, right. And there's some nickels in there. How some of the bad. Crap has the ashtray junk on it.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm waiting in line, and there's a chick I went to high school with who's working at the place. And I got to drop off not only the corn, the porn bloopers, but the handful of change. It smells like cigarettes. I got
to
be
and
dropped
you need to
on
beat it off so badly, you got to use pennies to do it. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what you have. She sees that. She sees this guy needs to measure it so badly, he has put together his chump change.
Wow, I was captain of the football team, class clown, and look what it's come to.
Right?
So sad.
It doesn't get worse.
So pathetic. I don't know why anyone, you know, no one ever did the math on the, maybe the guys that are renting the disgusting, vile porn in the back of the place don't want to stand in line between the mommies.
Right.
This is why I believe in the, you know, late 80s, mid 90s, all the little video stores started opening up, and they're all run by like Koreans or Chinese or whatever, because eventually when I moved up to La Crescenta, there was one up on Foothill Boulevard,
mm-hmm.
and the guy behind the counter was like right off the boat.
Okay.
And I just go in there and throw down whatever I want. And I think to myself, who are you talking to, buddy?
Right.
Who do you know that I know?
Right.
Who do you know that I went to? Did we go to the same? You went to high school in Beijing.
Right.
And you graduated 40 years before I did. Like, there's no cross-pollinization. There's not going to be a party we're going to be at where you're going to see me. Hey!
How are you, butt boss?
Hey, butt boss! Come here!
How are you doing?
I'm talking to your bangus, your anus 15. Come here!
Right.
Yeah, there's no, it's impossible.
Yeah.
I do think that's why those folks took over and why it became the norm.
Why it became norm for the Korean to run the porn.
Or just the crazy Asian nationality that you
But you know what? I'm still creeped out. And I don't rent anymore because the internet is taking care of that. But back when I still did, if it was an older Asian lady, like a mom or grandma's age.
Once in a while, they have to man the counter.
Right? And then you got to go up there with your crazy amateur.
No, she knew. But that's at the point where that's essentially, at that point, it's like a cop who says, I'll let you out of this DUI if you give me a blowjob. You go, all right, you know this is wrong. I know this is wrong, but no one's going to see. You're not telling anyone, and neither am I.
But all right, now that never happened to you, right? That never happened to you?
You never say never.
So it has happened to you?
No.
I mean, you say never. It could happen someday.
I'm saying I'm leaving the window open. And with today.
You got a lot of money. I paid that ticket.
But it's not only the ticket, but.
You know, who are some of the points on your license?
Hold on.
You've got money.
Points on the tickets.
Well, what's better than Craftsman? Lowe's. And now you can go get your Craftsman tools over at Lowe's. One stop shopping. One battery system, by the way, which works on all their multiple products. 2, 4, 6, and 8 tool combo kits available. The 2-amp high-capacity lithium battery, and it works on all the tools in their V20 lineup. Long runtime. Charges fast, runs long. They have drills. They have, and it's brushless motor drills, by the way. It's the good stuff. Impact drivers, hammer drills, the best. Craftsman, knocking it out of the ballpark, all made in the USA with global materials from Charlotte, North Carolina. For the latest Craftsman product updates, you can visit them at Lowe's.com/Adam. That's Lowe's.com/Adam.
All right, we're back with another Cruella Classic clip. This next one, an all-timer for me, from 2016. A great comedy moment stemming from a typo, a mispronunciation, and so much more. What do you remember about this one, Gio?
Adam Carolla Show, 1755. There's some guests on this episode, but they're not in for this moment. It's just Adam, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop taking calls. First caller, there's a typo. Thanks, Kayla. It leads to these very funny moments that you're about to hear.
Let's see. Do you have any idea what line four's name is?
Faith?
Faith?
Faith.
Hi. Sorry.
Hi. What's going on? 24, Boston.
Yes, 24. One from Buffalo, New York, but I'm living in Boston.
All right.
Yes, yes, yes. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
Faith's hot.
It's Faith James, like Faith.
Oh, like
Hope
Faith Love. Hill.
Yes, thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Not no. Fife.
people think it's Kate or uh-huh. Jade or.
Yeah. Come on, Kaylin.
Well, no, no, but here, look, can I say this? It's not Kaylin's yeah. fault.
What? Oh, no. She got it. She's great.
Wait a minute.
I'm not Kaylin.
Is it Faith?
It's Faith, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't hit the L very hard in that, to be fair to
Kaylin. L.
It's Faith, right?
Faith, yes.
Okay. Faith. All right. Look, it's society's fault because in the last 11 years, we've decided you can make up names.
Mm-hmm. True.
So when I was doing Loveline 15 years ago and I saw a 24-year-old gal named Faith, I know that that's a typo.
Okay.
Right. That the guy wrote it wrong or heard it wrong. Right. We're talking to Faith. But in a world yes. where everyone gets to make up their own names, then there could possibly be someone named Faith
yeah.
who's calling from yeah. Boston.
There was a 10% chance in my mind that it was like an old Gaelic name that had been used in centuries.
That's
right. And then here's where the Kaylin part factors, factors it in. But also, it's a little, can I say something to young Faith here? It's a little on you if you are not really hitting your L too hard, and the person is asking for a third time, which is it?
Where's the L coming from?
Is it Faith or is it Faith?
It's
there's
Faith.
No L either one.
Like Faith L. Hill.
Sorry, bunny.
Where's the L?
No, there's Faith. No. Oh. There's no.
These are dark days.
There's no.
It's not filth.
So I didn't know Faith Hill was Faith Hill. And Faith Hill was oh, no. Faith Hill.
Before you went to the phone call, Kaylin yeah. says to me, this girl's name is Faith. And I'm like, Faith? He goes, yeah, P-H, Faith. I asked her.
Because I repeated the P-H, but now realize that the P and T sounded familiar. Yeah. So I kept repeating Faith.
You see?
But she kept going with
T
it.
T like Tom, P like Peter.
This is the greatest moment in podcast right. history.
Faith, does that help? Can we answer your question?
What's your question, Faith?
Faith.
No.
Faith.
Like she said, faith, hope, and charity is what she said.
Faith.
So faith.
Like you got to like have faith, the faith
of
faith.
That's got an L sound, right?
Where?
Where?
Oh, I don't know.
I got to know.
I'm on cold medicine.
Faith? Fail?
Well,
negative.
Flith?
Laith?
Oh, I mean an F. It needs that F.
It's an upside down L.
Faith. Yeah, no, I guess it does say. Nah. Yeah, you may be right on this one. Hey, you know, I found out yesterday, lead singer,
yeah.
Deceased lead singer mm-hmm. from AC/DC.
Yeah.
Not Von Scott.
Not no. Von, not at all.
Bon Scott.
Yeah. Von.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Called him Von my entire life. Von.
You were forgetting the L.
Didn't.
Yeah, silent L.
There was no one.
Come on, actually.
I didn't know, never met a guy named Bon.
Yeah.
But I knew a couple
bon
guys
Jovi?
Named Von.
What about Bon Jovi?
Not his name.
That's the last one. All right. So.
Yes, Felf.
Yes, Felf. All right, Faith.
She might
you gotta punch her up.
Oh. No, it's not her. She's fine. She's fine. Faith.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, now what did Kaylin originally have on there? Faith? Or am I making that up now?
He had Carla.
Okay. Oh, he had Faith, and now we got Faith. All right. All right. Now I'm with you. All right.
Okay.
All right. Hmm.
What's your question, Faith?
My question is if you could give any advice to a budding writer who's trying to be a budding writer in comedy, what would it be?
Spelling, mm-hmm. dictation, yep. pronunciation, these are the top three.
The
these
tennis.
Are the brass rings. That is okay. 1, 2, 3, ABC when it comes to doing comedy.
The tenets right? of good comedy.
Mm-hmm. That's all you need. Well, you have to have faith in yourself. That much I know. You got to believe. You have faith and believe. So what do you do? What do you like to do? What kind of comedy do you do?
So I actually just quit my job last week as a human resources professional, but in my free time, I've been doing a lot of writing, so I'm attempting to pursue writing a book called Shit They Never Told You. Mm-hmm. It's trying to be, yeah, it's trying to be a compilation of advice and stories and the like about people's experiences in the workplace. So technically shit that people never told them. So I'm trying to add
a... Brian has a theory that you're hot.
That I'm hot?
That's
oh.
true.
Oh,
the HR thing just solidified it.
Mm-hmm.
What's that say? What's that
oh,
say?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I said I am a brunette, so I'm not sure if that changes.
What?
Don't be Harris.
Hold on. That's a hair color, Brian.
Okay. I'm catching up.
Is what else? How else would you describe yourself?
How else would I describe myself? All right. So I'm below 5'5", so I'm under the average of a female, I've learned recently. Mm-hmm. I think I'm funny. I'm not sure if others do. Well, no, my mom thinks I am. I think that works
We're
too well.
Focusing on the aesthetic here.
Exactly. Okay. So going back to the aesthetics. Okay. So I have green eyes, but they change to brown depending on the weather.
Interesting.
You're a great big fat person.
Mm-mm. You're starting to turn. Brian's turning on you.
I know. The fact he sticks is funny. Okay. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have horn-rimmed glasses?
No, I don't wear glasses.
Oh, I could hear glasses.
Do you have anyone you look like besides immediate neighbors?
Don't say Louis Anderson.
When I was little, back in the day when I was probably 10, friends used to say I looked like Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Mm-hmm. That was Elaine. They would print out pictures of Elaine and tack it to my desk, thinking mm-hmm. it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was flattered, so it was
nice. That'd be hate crime now.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't do that.
Automatic suspension.
Yep.
Julia Louis held up well. She's preserved in amber.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, she's definitely a good example of, you know, a lot of these blonde tens, there's kind of nowhere to go but down. She had a good solid base and just kept it there.
Yep.
And doesn't seem to be any more or less attractive 20 years on.
Huh? She doesn't age.
Exactly.
Right. But she wasn't, because she was never a knockout that she's held
solid
held the ground.
Seven.
Cling at 8.5 all the way through her life.
Yeah. So, anyway, you want to do comedy?
Want to do writing. I love talking and making people laugh, so hoping.
Yeah.
What was that?
Oh, we're looking at a picture of you.
Adorable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Is that Twitter or is it Instagram? Which one?
I don't know. I don't know how it works, but
Twitter.
We're looking at you. Brian says he'd fuck you.
Yeah.
He has a certain signal he gives.
It's an erection.
Yep, that's what it is. I felt
I'm
the pressure in my ear and knee. Yeah. So, Faith.
Yes.
Well, why don't you write a spec script? Like, what's your favorite TV show?
I have a bunch. I have a lot of favorite TV shows.
She wants to do the book, though, right? She wants to do the sort of comedic advice.
Well,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, write an outline. So write an outline for the book.
Sample chapter.
Okay. What is a spec script, though? I'm intrigued. What is a spec script?
You take your favorite show, Modern Family.
Yeah.
And then you go find a Modern Family script and you look at it a little bit, and then you just write your own script.
Mm. On speculation that it will be sold someday.
But, yeah.
Go
Spec's
to,
a weird, we shouldn't call it spec, but yes.
Spec. I think this website still exists. Go to Simply Scripts. SimplyScripts, I think, .com. That'll give you a lot of examples of scripts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And also, write a little outline for your book. Sample chapter.
Definitely. Well, I am hoping to compile a bunch of stories. So if any of you would like to contribute, even just like one-liners I can take down right now, let me know, and I'd be extremely, extremely thankful and excited.
We're pretty busy. But
we're punched
but listen,
in right now.
Next story.
Next!
Look, the thing about the entertainment world is they're pretty much... They want writers. Like, they need writers. Like, they'll take writers.
And they want female writers.
And they want female writers, too. And so, if you're halfway decent, they're looking for you. So, go create some product and get it out there, and you can get in the room.
And there are plenty of people. There's at least a couple examples of people on Twitter that create these Twitter accounts that get hired on writing staffs because of those.
Sure.
There's, like, Modern Seinfeld and all that shit.
everybody's looking. It's like we don't get show business. Show business is no different than I was at Jimmy's Super Bowl party. I talked to a guy from the Adam Carolla Project. He's the guy, Stephen Green. He's a electronics contractor. And
he was the kicker guy, right?
He's the kicker guy who I famously took with me or with him. I went with him to try out for the LA Avengers, and the LA Avengers offered me a job as a long snapper. And the guy didn't know who I was. It was completely organic. But Steven didn't make his field goals like they wanted him to, and he was not offered the job. But I asked him how his business was going and this, that, and the other, and he said, I'm doing great. I just can't find enough good electricians. And everyone goes, oh, I get it. It's hard to find really good guys, trustworthy, blah, 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 build your business, blah, blah, blah. Hollywood's the same way. They're always looking. They're not looking for bad electricians. They're not looking for junky electricians, but they're always looking for someone to make them more money. And if you're a funny writer, they certainly are looking for you to make them some more money. Geico, everybody. That's what I want to say. You want to save hundreds of dollars in your car insurance? Go with Geico. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Do it in 2019. Come on now. Save that extra money. Put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day at Geico. That is geico.com.
So there we go. There is an L in faith, apparently. And this next clip will also prove that. What do you know about this one, Gio?
Adam Carolla Show, 1978 from 2016. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop in studio. It's just a gang episode. Faith Felf makes a follow-up call regarding the death of George Michael. In between this, they had a parody song from Richard Banks' debut set to an old George Michael tune based on this mispronunciation. I was thinking of playing the debut of that tune, but it felt more inspired to take the return call of Faith, where they also play the song. If you want to hear the song debut, Podcast One Premium, Adam Carolla Show Archive. If you need help finding it, hit me up on social media. Until then, enjoy Falf and her follow-up call and the song parody from the wonderful Rich Banks and Mike Lynch, geniuses.
So good.
First news of 2017. Faith, 25, Washington, D.C.
Hi.
Hey, what's going
on?
How
are you?
Is this Faith?
This is the same Faith that should have an L in there. Faith?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of that, George Michael, yeah.
I know. I didn't know if I should feel guilty or sad. Like, it was horrible.
Well, I guess it would be nice if Kaylin could hear names properly and did not type so awkwardly when screening the calls. But it isn't all his fault. Before you give him too much shit and go call him an idiot, because Adam fucked up too. Oh, Adam,
this is better than that Poison song.
Way better,
sure.
Put in an L that just don't belong. But add in Kaylin's PH. He's far too blame. Spell like 2 second graders with a touch of Down syndrome. Cause neither can spell faith. Yes, neither can spell faith. They can't spell faith, faith, or faith.
Faith, faith, faith. All right, Faith. What's up, baby?
Nothing.
All right, we have one more Carolla Classic clip for you today, featuring the great Norman Lear, one of Adam's favorites, along with Allison and Brian in studio.
Norman making his Adam Carolla Show debut. He also, I believe, did a Take a Knee, I think, either previous to this or along with this in the same day. This is from 2014. Comes in studio, talks about life, talks about work. In this particular clip, it's a lot of stuff about his time in the war, in the military service. I think he was 93 years old when he recorded this, and he sounds completely with it and in the conversation, and it's just a terrific moment in the history of the show. Check it out.
Norman Lear in studio. Legendary Norman Lear. I grew up Wow, right in your wheelhouse, watching Sanford and Son, the Jeffersons, Good Times, Mod, of course, All in the Family. Amazing work. All in the Family, welcome, by the way, the book. Even This I Get to Experience. Available now on Amazon, and you know what to do. Click through AdamCarolla.com. Show us a little love. Great to see you. I think I saw you at Phil Rosenthal's house a year or so ago.
Oh, yes, at a film screening.
So we should talk about everything. First off, All in the Family is one of these shows that I reference all the time in the new Hollywood system where you're attempting to do a sitcom and they go, everyone has to be likable. This guy's not likable. And I go, Carol O'Connor was not likable. Archie Bunker was not likable. He was funny as shit, but he wasn't likable. And I literally had an executive go, oh, listen, we know that him and Meathead argued, but we also knew that if Meathead was ever in the hospital, Archie would be the first one by his bedside. And I said, no, he wouldn't. He didn't even like the guy. And I don't know if today's system is driving you nuts or what was different about the old system that you could do something. There wasn't audience testing?
I thought he was a human being, and that automatically included being lovable to some degree and to some people, and some people not. But I always thought of him as lovable in the sense that his daughter could count on him.
But yeah. What I'm getting at is I come from a very liberal group, and when I was young, we would watch All in the Family, and my super liberal mom would look at him and go, what a buffoon. What a cartoon character. You know, what a clown he is. But she wouldn't be offended by him. She looked at him as a buffoon, and she would laugh with him.
Because there was something lovable about him.
Yeah, but I don't feel like
he's a human being.
I don't feel like we could make that sitcom today because we'd have to make him super likable all the time. He couldn't be that buffoon.
The guys and gals that are doing shows right now, showrunners, they tell me you couldn't do it today. And they attempt to do some of the things that we did subject-wise, and they can't do it.
Yeah,
so you're right about that.
They would take Carol O'Connor and they would round off the sharp edges and they'd make him just a little more sort of universally friendly, and he'd be just a big blob of oatmeal.
You know, Matt and Trey at South Park wanted to do Archie, and they did him as a little kid.
Right. Yeah, but I'm basically talking about, you know, the big three, as it were.
You could do that stuff on Comedy Central or the, you know,
yes,
cable channels.
So it's weird that we've regressed in a certain way, but you want to talk about shows that hold up. And also, as somebody who came from a poor family that was pretty depressed, I liked watching the Jeffersons and Sanford and Son. It made me feel better about my lot in life versus watching the Partridge Family or the Brady Bunch, which always made me depressed.
Well, you may be articulating something I haven't heard a lot, but there may be a very significant inner truth in that. That an awful lot of Caucasians watched it because it helped them feel better than they had. They felt they had any right to feel when they weren't watching it.
No, I did. Like, I would see them. I'd see Good Times, and I would go, all right, they're a little poorer than we are, and they live in a crappier place than we do. We're poor, and we live in a crappier place. But when I would see the Brady Bunch in their big house and their shiny car and everyone intact and happy and together, it would depress me. So in a way, you did a service, and Maude depressed me a little bit too. But then Adrian Barbeau came down those stairs, and I perked up.
How about Thelma on Good Times?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was pretty good. Yeah, Thelma was pretty good too. But Adrian Barbeau at 26, coming down those stairs in a tight sweater. Yeah, I woke up in a hurry. Now
I'm sorry. She's in the car at 26 waiting for you.
Yeah.
When this show's over.
That'd be so awesome. I had one of my earliest erotic dreams about Adrienne Barbeau, which was we were at a mall and I tried to grab her boobie and she yelled at me. And then I told her we were in a dream. It didn't matter. And she still yelled at me.
Next story.
Next. Thank you. So you, and this I didn't know, you flew in a B-17 Flying Fortress?
I did.
52 combat missions?
I went over, when we went over, we were on a mission basis. And that is, some flights we got credit for two missions because we were in the area that long. Sometimes we didn't even drop bombs, and we got credit for a mission because we were in the air that long. Then they got on a sortie basis. Mm-hmm. A sortie basis was every time you drop bombs.
Right.
So I was in the plane and dropped bombs 33 times and flew 52 missions.
Where
I used the 52 because I'm an American, and that's what we do.
Where did you drop those bombs?
Over Germany.
And that was... The Flying Fortress is closer
the
to the
B-17.
B-17 closer to the end of the war. What year would that have been for
1943 and 4.
There wasn't much you could do that was more dangerous than that in the campaign back then, was there?
Well, I suspect if you were in the infantry and you were seeing battle service.
But initially... when they had the, you know, Memphis Belle sort of thing, you can get to 25, you know, and no one got to 25. I mean, they were doing daylight bombings. They didn't have fighter escorts with that kind of range. Right. I don't think the Mustang was around, or at least the Mustang with the drop tanks. And you guys were going out unescorted in the daylight and just getting shredded.
And then the P-51s with the red tails, the Tuskegee guys came along.
Yeah.
And, they flew so close to us, and they, I think about the Tuskegee Airmen, I often think about a trio of, God, now I'm trying to remember the black dancers, the Something Brothers, and they were fabulous.
Yes, I know you're talking about.
I remember
about
flying
the
and thinking, watching the Tuskegee guys dip and dance and flip and come in so close and go over the bomb run with us, which they didn't have to do. They weren't called on to do that, but they did. And it used to remind me of the Something or Other Brothers.
I could, we'll figure it out. They're black, they're brothers, and they tap dance, I think.
Yes, yes.
And
not flew
clever.
Through the air. And
yeah, narrowed it down to 250 million guys.
It was like Sabian Glover.
Yeah, it was something like that. They're brothers, they're amazing tap artists in the 30s or
Nicholas
40s.
Brothers. The Nicholas Brothers.
So the idea, and if you guys could imagine this, I mean... You know, when you're flying in Southwest, you hit a little turbulence as you're going into Vegas and your kind of stomach jumps up in your mouth. Imagine flak. I mean, imagine you're flying and people are on the ground trying to shoot you down. And in the air, trying to shoot you down.
And then you get the Luftwaffe doing the same thing in the air, yeah.
And your plane is skinned with aluminum. And when they open up on you, the bullets just go
right
through.
Through
they go right through the plane. I mean, I don't even know if they would slow down.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be the most nerve-wracking experience in the world.
It's like an afternoon in somebody else's life for me, or a chapter in somebody else's book. It's hard to remember it all. I mean, I remember it clearly, a lot of it, but emotionally. It's really hard to connect.
You must have been so young. How old were you?
I was 20, 21.
It's not the kind of thing I don't think you can get 40-year-olds to do that job. Like,
here's what I've often thought. We live lives end on end and lives within lives. I lived a life in kindergarten. I lived a life in the first grade. I lived a life with my parents. I lived a life in high school, the chemistry class, the debating class. By the time I had to get into that plane, I'd lived so many lives that I don't think any of them were. I didn't think I was going to now live one that was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
They never ended. They just one followed the other. So that's the secret, I think. I didn't think, no matter who died, no matter how many planes didn't come back, I couldn't believe it was going to be me.
What was the closest scrape you had? Or the time that you saw some planes go down around you or bullets
well,
fly?
What comes to mind quickly is my best friend, who was a radio operator on another plane, Jimmy Edwards was his name. And we trained together and we flew over together. We flew on each other's wing. And the first the first time we were set to fly, we got up in the morning, and we happened to have breakfast. We saw to it we had breakfast together. But then we each had to go to the John. This long row of...
And you're flying out of England, right?
No, Foggia, Italy.
Oh, you're flying out of Italy?
15th Air Force, out of Foggia, Italy. Well, you met the 8th Air Force flying out of London, out of England, but we flew out of Italy. And the second time, and the flight was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
The second time we were due to a fly, we already a tiny bit suspicious, or maybe it happened accidentally, but we sat down again after breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third time, it was really a superstition. The fifth time or sixth time, or whatever, when we really took off and flew the very first mission, we were rushing from the commissary to the John's, to the latrine, and which was just a hole in the ground, but there were like 30 of them. And a lieutenant stopped us and said, "Where are you going?" "We're going to the John. Get on the Jeep. We're going to the flight line." Couldn't talk a minute. We just wanted to just touch down. Jimmy didn't come back. It was our first mission. I think it was Frankfurt. And his plane went down. So that was it happened on the very first mission. And that was the roughest time I remember.
I just, you know, the batting average of those guys, especially early on, was so insanely low that, and I don't know if Norman's battalion was like this, but I mean, for many of the guys that did the bombing missions, especially over Europe, they just didn't come back. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had an acceptable amount of losses, and that acceptable amount was a huge number of planes.
You're saying batting average in terms of just surviving, not in terms of successful mission.
Like I said, just not B-17. I don't think – what was the Memphis Belle? Was that a B-17?
B-17.
They just said, look, if you can make it to 25 successful missions, you can retire. But no one's going to make it to 25, and no one would make it to 25.
I was in a in a squadron that was where the colonel who led the squadron was a giant hero. He flew a plane called the Swooscoots.
The Swooscoots? The Swooscoots.
Yeah, it was very famous. And his name was Frank Kurtz. And he named his daughter after his plane, and that's Swoozy Kurtz.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah.
Mrs. Kevin Bacon.
Jesus.
Mrs. Kevin Bacon is right.
Wow. That is incredible. Did your plane have art on it? Did it have a name?
My plane was Umbriago. Do you remember Umbriago? Do you remember Jimmy Durante?
Sure.
Jimmy Durante used to say Umbriago at the end of every show.
Mm-hmm.
People attach various meanings to it.
Would have been funny if you had dynamite on there. Bizarre precursor.
Did you have trouble adjusting when you came back?
I didn't. Interesting enough, my wife, Lynn, her dad fought. He was a photographer, but he was also in the 15th Air Force, flew a bunch of missions, and he didn't get over it. Had a really difficult life following. And for me, it was, as I said, like a page in another book.
Like it wasn't your life, or was your former life, and now
like
you move on.
Like the chemistry club. I don't really remember it. I can't believe I was ever a member of a chemistry club.
All right, that does it for today's Corolla Classics. Thank you so much for listening. The Adam Carolla Show returns this Friday, so make sure to check that out. Gio, thanks again for pulling these amazing clips of the Corolla Show history. Really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Get it on, everybody.